Bros. Football. Bros.
Touchdown!
Hello, it's football season.
Fantasy football.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is fantasy.
Can white guys use the term fam?
Here we go again. It is your fam with you. I'm Alex Hardy. With me, John Salas. This is fantasy football. We had an exciting week 4 in the NFL and week 5 just around the corner with a decent Thursday night football schedule coming up. I'm sure we'll get a little insight from our main man, Keith Arizari. But for now, what's going on, John Salas?
Normally I'm here, happy, positive vibes, but I feel like my heart and every bone in my body has been ripped out, shred to pieces, and getting mailed first class up to Keith's house over on the East Coast because I jinxed myself, Alex.
You took that L.
I took the L. Austin Eckler and Jared Cook combined for about 45 points, and that's what Keith needed. He beat me by 3, so he needed, what, like 42 points? He got it. And for someone who didn't get to watch the Monday night game and you guys are blowing me up, it was kind of disappointing. But good for Keith. We can't win them all. So we're here now with you. Thankfully, not with Keith. So the spirits are rising a little bit right now.
Well, kudos to both of you, because if either of you took the trade offer I sent for Logan Thomas, well, neither of you would have had a chance of winning that game. Logan Thomas, among the list of the battered and bruised, we'll get to some injury updates. But first, let's start on a positive note, John. I saw your lofty point total may have been because you took a chance on a 3-touchdown performance from Sunday. There were two players that totaled 3 touchdowns apiece. I think the better of the two was Tyreek Hill. I'll tell you, because the Chiefs ran the football 32 times and Patrick Mahomes had 30 pass attempts. 5 of those pass attempts were touchdowns, 3 going to Tyreek Hill on an 11-catch day. This is what we saw from Patrick Mahomes in the MVP 2018 season. The Chiefs established the run with, of all people, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and then can throw over the top, and Cheetah just gets past everybody. But you're going to make an argument for the other 3-touchdown performance, that coming from who, John?
Cordarrelle Patterson. So, of course, I'm going to make the argument, because you should already have Tyreek Hill. Cordarrelle Patterson was a waiver pickup. So he was sitting there for you to go snag. The dude touched the ball 12 times, scored 3 touchdowns, and I think he totaled like 115 yards, 34 fantasy points in PPR leagues. How can you not be impressed? And here's the thing. For Yahoo owners, he plays as a wide receiver and a running back, so you have the flexibility there. So I slotted him in as a running back, I slotted him in as a wide receiver.
It doesn't matter.
And it doesn't matter because guess what? He only finished like 6 or 7 points below Tyreek Hill. So Cordarrelle Patterson looks like the In-N-Out line to me now when I go get an In-N-Out burger at 11:30 in the morning when the line's not long, compared to when it's long where I'm like, no, I don't even want to touch that. So he is officially in my starting lineup. And he's going to give Tyreek Hill a run for his money. Mark my words.
For a guy that did not see Monday Night Football, you missed out on at least 2 or 3 graphics where they had Justin Herbert eating it In-N-Out. I'll just put that out there.
I would have went to In-N-Out like 5 times during that game.
What intrigues me about Cordarrelle Patterson is he's posting Robert Tonyan type of production. Remember last year it was unheard of for Robert Tonyan to produce 11 touchdowns on 59 targets. I believe Cordarrelle Patterson on 22 targets, 3 receiving touchdowns, 4 total in the last 3 games. If you prioritize Chuba Hubbard over Cordarrelle Patterson, like I did a week ago, I'm feeling a little left out of the party, but that's okay. That piece of the Falcons offense will be intriguing. And especially worth noting, if you're interested in Calvin Ridley, look a little deeper into the numbers. He hasn't gotten into the end zone, but he's still commanded a 30% target share of Matt Ryan's passes. Let's move on to some of the unfortunate outcomes in fantasy football. John, I rooted for no injuries, and yet here they come again. One of these days, we're going to get it right. No one's going to get injured. Everybody's going to play whoever they drafted. But let's start with a huge loss for the Chicago Bears. No, not Matt Nagy losing the play calling duties. That was a good thing that happened for the Bears. But David Montgomery, what we thought could have been an ACL tear, just a knee sprain, but still expected to miss the next 4 to 5 weeks. Damian Williams, likely the top waiver priority in your leagues from yesterday, who's coming off of a thigh bruise, but Matt Nagy said he's ready to go. 10 touches for 70 total yards once Montgomery went down against the Detroit Lions, and some consideration for Khalil Herbert and Jakeem Grant, who just came over from Miami for a 6th-round pick. John, what do you think about the Bears' backfield?
So I'm very curious. So you said Matt Nagy, I can't believe him anymore, says Damian Williams is okay with that thigh bruise. So I'm going to monitor that, but it's hard not to get him number one as your waiver priority.
Well, remember, Andy Dalton is starting running back when healthy, so it's a limited shelf life.
Yeah, but I just think we're getting the Justin Fields. Yeah, I think I'm over Andy Dalton. I think that they're gonna rush the ball. They got Vegas coming up this week, where they just got torched for like 126 rushing yards from the Chargers. So Andy Dalton can run for about half of those, and then Damian Williams can have the rest. And then remember, Damian Williams had about like 2 or 3 catches for 15 yards. So all you PPR fans, he's gonna play that receiving role as well. But if I will say one thing about Khalil Herbert and Jakeem Grant real quick, if they are there and you're in a deep league if they're still there when you're listening to this right now, because waivers are already long gone, go pick them up. If you have a spot and you're in a deep 14, 16 team league, why not? It's the NFL. People get hurt every week, every day. And who knows, this thigh bruise could just flare up in the next 2 or 3 days before game day. And we could be seeing Khalil Herbert or Jakeem Grant in the backfield come week 5.
Honestly, John, I really think the Bears acquired Jakeem Grant because they're trying to replace Cordarrelle Patterson, who was in the Bears' backfield a year ago. I mean, here's a gadget player. He's tiny, 5'6", I think, played some slot receiver for the Dolphins, was a primary kick returner. I don't see him in the backfield, but what I do like is he can make something out of nothing. And the upcoming Bears schedule, you mentioned the Raiders, then they get the Packers, the Buccaneers, the 49ers, the Steelers, the Ravens. There's not going to be a lot of time for Fields to throw the ball. He's going to be under pressure like he was against Cleveland. I'm not calling for 9 sacks, but I'm also going to say that Damian Williams, while he may be the better pass catcher over David Montgomery, he's not the same type of runner who's hardly going to have the same rushing production with that offensive line, which is among the NFL's worst.
You're the worst.
One of the worst offensive lines in the NFL last year. The Cincinnati Bengals have improved, which was showing us why Joe Mixon was worthy of a first, maybe early second round pick. He's now day-to-day with an ankle injury, this coming from Zach Taylor after the week 4 win against Jacksonville. And we saw a year ago that Joe Mixon was day-to-day with a foot injury and ended up missing 10 weeks. So how high are you on Samaje Perine? Did you have him before or after Damian Williams in terms of your priorities this week?
So I'm thinking long-term. Now, I don't want to go and waste my top priority on Perine if what we heard last year, where you're saying day-to-day with Mixon ends up being out the whole last 10 games of the year, to where it's the opposite, to where I go Perine number one, and then Mixon comes back, and then we're just screwed.
Right.
And so when I could have been, hey, I could have got Damian Williams, remember, where you know, and with bye weeks coming up, he's going to be playing for at least a month. So he's going to get touches, hopefully get in the end zone. So the Bengals situation with Perine and Evans, I'm kind of taking a back seat. I'm not as high on them yet, just because knowing, and this is just my luck, and I'm not sure how your luck is, listeners, but if I were to go Samaje Perine number one, Joe Mixon's back and healthy and going to put up a top fantasy year. So I'm not as high on the Bengals running backs right now.
Other running backs I was looking at this week, Kenneth Gainwell had a nice role in the obvious passing situations for the Eagles, which was pretty much the entire time they were trailing to the Chiefs. So expect the Eagles to be trailing a lot more. And I like Kenneth Gainwell if you miss out on those two running backs. We'll stay on Thursday Night Football after talking about Joe Mixon and the Bengals. DJ Chark's fractured ankle keeps him out for the rest of the year. Laviska Shenault may be available in your fantasy league. Laviska Shenault available in 42% of Yahoo leagues. So more than likely, he could be out there for you. And I sort of like his upside over Marvin Jones. Now, we don't have to get into the situation with their head coach not taking the team flight, hanging out with his grandkids, except he wasn't, and reportedly losing the locker room. But if the players want to play, if they're playing for their next contract, Shenault is the guy that steps up. Marvin Jones really does cement that number one wide receiver role for Jacksonville. Hey, John, Logan Thomas, week to week with a hamstring injury. You still interested?
You know what? The rate Brandon Ayuk's playing, I may have to take that. I think the points when Logan Thomas gets back might be sitting there when Brandon Ayuk is just watching Deebo Samuel take his role away.
All right, and I will send that trade offer right now. Let's talk about some of the perennial powers in fantasy football, John. There were certain teams that we were targeting coming into this year because of the offensive volume or the rate of play that they go at, or they're just the team that scores a ton of touchdowns. There are obvious reasons why you covet players from the Chiefs, the Rams, the Bills, over guys like, you know, Jets and Giants and the types of teams that just won't score as many touchdowns. So one of the big additions you made instead of Logan Thomas this week was Bills tight end Dawson Knox, who's the number one waiver priority for tight ends for week 5, but he was on your roster week 4.
If I could kiss you right now.
Oh, that's nasty.
You're talking to Dawson Knox, not me, right?
No, you, Mr. Hardy.
Uh-oh.
I want to kiss you. I want to give you all the hickeys in the world.
Nasty!
Because you were the one last week. Now, listeners, if you listened last week, Mr. Hardy said, Dawson Knox, keep an eye on him. Get him if you can. So what did I do? In 2 leagues, in our league included, I dropped Robert Tonyan and said, see ya, kicked him in the butt, out of here. Another league, got him. Dawson Knox had 2 touchdowns, 5 catches, and yeah, only for 37 yards, but those 3 points are going to play with the 12 and the 8. And he recorded 20 points after recording 14 the week before. He is getting at least 5 targets a game. Now, for how bad the tight end position is outside of the Kittles, the Wallers, and the Kelseys, Dawson Knox might be up there in top 10 fantasy tight ends by the end of the year if he keeps this up.
We'll bring him up again. It's Robert Tonyan type of production with the number of touchdowns on the limited targets. But the Bills offense has been really interesting since they lost at home in week 1. They've outscored their opponents, get this, John, 118-21. They've pitched 2 shutouts. And if Washington didn't get a couple garbage time touchdowns, they really would have been on an unprecedented clip.
If you don't have the Bills defense, you're messing up.
So the Bills tight end, the Bills defense, that's a lock. The backfield, however, has been a big question. I'm telling you that once again, the back to own moving forward is Zach Moss. A healthy scratch in week 1. Since that time, the last 2 weeks has gotten more carries compared to Devin Singletary. And despite the limited number of touches, he's rushed the ball 27 times in the past 2 weeks. Moss is 6th in the NFL in red zone touches and 3rd with carries inside the 10. If Stephon Diggs and Devin Singletary are the guys that move the football down the field, Dawson Knox and Zach Moss are the ones that are getting the touchdowns. Apparently, Josh Allen is not rushing from the 1-yard line anymore. It's Zach Moss. And John, this might be a sore subject for you, but there's a Cardinals running back that torched your Rams largely because of his role in the red zone.
Oh, man. James Conner. Talk about not being happy to see him and then looking on my roster and he's on my bench. But the last 2 weeks, he's got 2 touchdowns all within the 10-yard line. So when Arizona's down there, they're going to James Conner. Now, he's a guy where you're like, oh, what about Chase Edmonds and blah, 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 and he hasn't shown great stats early. James Conner's still averaging 16 touches a game. And what a momentum boost after these past 2 weeks, and especially playing San Francisco that at least allows 1 rushing touchdown. And we're talking about explosive offenses. You have to feel confident that the Cardinals are going to be inside that 10-yard line almost every drive. And Kyler Murray can't throw the ball every time he's in there. So James Conner is going to get the looks, going to get the runs. And hey, if you're lucky, maybe he'll even get you a receiving touchdown.
That backfield is a little more clear because there are two guys as opposed to the wide receivers with four of them eating on different weeks. First, it was DeAndre Hopkins with two touchdowns in week one. Then Rondale Moore broke out week two. Christian Kirk week three. AJ Green leading the Cardinals in week four. Are four Cardinals receivers about to be rostered right now? Is AJ Green a priority for you, or are you going to go back to Rondale Moore or Christian Kirk first? Because DeAndre Hopkins, he's a must start.
I think you got to go AJ Green. Look at it. You have to assume after Moore and Kirk had their kind of hot starts, and with the news of, what was it, week three when DeAndre Hopkins had the rib injury and he was a game time decision, that's when AJ Green broke out. But AJ Green is literally every single game. This is the funniest thing. Every single game this year, he's gotten six targets. So Kyler Murray's throwing him the ball. And now I feel like, and we still don't know, like DeAndre Hopkins was utilized in the game this past week, but not as crazy. I still think AJ Green is the way to go because we don't know how severe those rib injuries are for Hopkins. Obviously, you have to start Hopkins, but AJ Green had a touchdown last week, 112 yards last week without a touchdown. Like, you have to ride the hot hand, and it's AJ Green.
We'll stay in the division and your Rams that lost to these Cardinals. Here's the quote from Sean McVay, quote, "When Robert Woods is involved, that's a good thing for the Rams' offense. That's something we want to continue to see displayed. We just need to get him some more opportunities, and that starts with me. Through the first 4 weeks, Robert Woods has 25 targets compared to Cooper Kupp's 46. And in that week four loss to the Cardinals, Van Jefferson ran more routes than Robert Woods did." What's going on with Bobby Trees?
So here's the thing with Robert Woods. Now, non-PPR teams and owners probably hate him. There's, unless, you know, you're not getting that, those points for per reception, so he's getting you 4 or 5 points. PPR fans, don't panic. Week one, 12 points. Week two, 12 points. Week three, that's where he kind of pooped the bed, 6 points. Last week, even with the garbage touchdown, 14 points. Don't panic. He's getting over six looks a game. His minimum targets he had this year so far is four in week one. Be patient. I feel like Stafford and Cooper Kupp, their chemistry's there, but it's been a little off the last two games. They've been missing a little bit of throws. Teams are starting to keen in on Cooper Kupp. The Arizona Cardinals did that and succeeded. Be patient. Just think about it. Who do you feel comfortable on your bench starting over Robert Woods? That's how I'll put it. If you feel comfortable, if someone on your bench is outscoring Robert Woods every week so far, throw him in. But you got Seattle, and there you go. I mean, Robert Woods is a must play still, in my opinion.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, you've had the benefit of one of their top two receivers being out, and therefore the other guy getting the production. When it was Deontay Johnson out 2 weeks ago, Chase Claypool had double-digit targets and double-digit fantasy production. With Claypool out this past Sunday, Deontay Johnson did what he does. He got the opening touchdown and another double-digit target week. Mike Tomlin says that he anticipates both Chase Claypool and their right tackle, Okorafor, returning for the Denver Broncos. But he also mentioned that Ben Roethlisberger is dealing with a hip issue. Do you have any hesitancy for a returning Chase Claypool? Is Deontay Johnson must start because of how awful Big Ben has been throwing down the field?
So I think Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool are must starts when healthy. But Alex, I'm going to throw this question back at you. Is it time to worry about Juju Smith? After last year, we really got a little concerned. Numbers were down. He's only produced one double-digit fantasy week in points this year, and that was against the Raiders in week two. The targets are there, but the production isn't. Is it time to sell him, get him what you can, or just leave him on the bench and you pray he breaks out?
I'm not going to go out of my way to acquire Juju, but if he's sitting on my bench, I'm going to hold him for now. It seems like all the short yardage work has been going to Deontay Johnson, but in the event something happens to him or the Steelers offensive line gets healthy, hopefully sooner rather than later. Yes, they made an emphasis to run the football more, but they're still going to be in pass heavy scripts, and Juju's going to have to eat. It's just going to be a hard time figuring out when those matchups are. I'll be completely candid. Is there really somebody else that you'd rather, you know, have on your roster instead of him? It's hard to identify that right now, but I'm going to hold and not drop. And last, but certainly not least, maybe the best, the Kansas City Chiefs offense. You know, they exploded with just 30 pass attempts from Patrick Mahomes, I mentioned at the top of the show. And Josh Gordon officially promoted to the 53-man roster. Are we taking a run at Josh Gordon after his eighth or ninth strike? What do you think, John?
As someone who has bit the bait three or four times on Josh Gordon, I am saying no. I've seen this story play out. I wish the best, and I hope always for the best in these players, and especially in this story with Josh Gordon. He has gotten chance after chance after chance, and as fantasy owners, we sit here and are like, oh my God, look what he could do with the Seahawks. Look what he could do with Russell Wilson. He played, what, two games maybe in the three times that they tried bringing him back? Now, obviously, with Pat Mahomes, he looks intriguing. I don't know. I just think I can get three or four other players on the waiver wire that would probably produce quicker than Josh Gordon and would probably be on a roster longer than Josh Gordon. So I'm just going to pass.
I'm just not enamored with the Sammy Watkins role on the Chiefs offense in general. There may be, you know, at his best, there are going to be days where the Chiefs can exploit a good matchup, but how many times were you burned by Sammy Watkins in that Chiefs offense? And that's the role that's carved out for Josh Gordon at his best. I mean, Mecole Hardman had expectations in this role and couldn't deliver on them. So the Chiefs are just literally throwing whatever they can at their situation. Again, the league's worst defense, among the worst defenses in the NFL, and their solution is to add Josh Gordon. I mean, why play defense when he can just score more? Scoring more is what we would like to see for Thursday night football. John, you certainly have, you know, your LA Rams trying to get off the schneid. And I'll be candid. I'll be really honest with you. This is not a fantasy football take. I think Brandon Staley showed me a lot more than what Sean McVay did, because after an emotional victory in Kansas City, we've got Brandon Staley leading the Chargers on Monday Night Football. Sean McVay, an emotional win against the Buccaneers, he goes and lays an egg against the Arizona Cardinals. So, I mean, what are you expecting against these Seattle Seahawks, and what Rams in particular do you think Keith Arizari has his eye on? Where is Keith this week?
I don't know. I think rumor has it after he got that miraculous victory against me in fantasy football, he went to Cabo, I believe.
Really?
It was. I think he's hanging out with like Pete Carroll and all those losers and all that over there. So I think he's trying to lighten up their day. I don't know, some victory trip, but I just can't handle Keith, so I'm out.
Let's go to Keith Arizari in Cabo.
We just arrived in Cabo.
All right, fellas, I cannot believe we are into week number 5. We've got Thursday night football, a chance of some fireworks. You got the Rams and the Seahawks. I'll do a DFS lineup for you. But first, I'd be remiss if we didn't at least discuss what happened this week between John and myself. John goes into Monday Night Football. He was up by 45.86 points. I had Austin Eckler. I had Jared Cook. I get 48.5. I get a much needed victory. The fam is doing well in the one league that the three of us are in. It was nice to get the win. And now on to John's Los Angeles Rams, and I believe the Rams are going to do well. All right, let's build this lineup. The first question, obviously, is can you fit both quarterbacks into the lineup? I say yes. All right, let's go captain first, Matthew Stafford. I think the Rams win this game, so let's go with Stafford. Two or more passing touchdowns every game this year, just two interceptions. Seventh most fantasy points to quarterbacks, that's the Seahawks, and they're giving up an average of about 300 passing yards per game. I'm also going to fit in Russell Wilson. 11,800 on DraftKings, 9 passing touchdowns, no interceptions. And the Rams, as good as their defense is, they are middle of the pack against quarterbacks. All right, Can I get Cooper Kupp into the lineup? Yes, I can. For $12,400 again on DraftKings. Coming off his worst week, so the number drops a little bit, only at 11 fantasy points, but still, the dude's got 46 targets on the season through four games, getting about 108 receiving yards per game, five touchdowns. I cannot not have him in the lineup. All right, now what do I do with the next three spots? It's pretty simple, or is it? All right, let's go with a kicker. We'll get Matt Gay in there, 8 for 9 on his field goals, 13 for 13 on PATs. Let's mess around here. Sony Michel, $1,800 on DraftKings. It's a punt play, clearly. But if anything happens to Henderson, Michel gets the carries. And then I'm going to press my luck here. And, you know, as of the taping right now, we'll, you know, see how things play out on Thursday. But if Carson is limited, Alex Collins for $3,200 makes a lot of sense. Last week, 10 carries, 44 yards, and a touchdown. There is a winning DFS lineup for you guys, coming from a winner in week number 4 over John Salas.
Again, for Keith Arizeri, for my main man, John Salas, I'm Alex Hardy, and fam, let's get ready for week 5, the last week with no bye weeks. We are full send for week number 5, and in my starting lineup against the Arizona Cardinals, Trey Lance, let's go!
Oh, man, Cordell Patterson truthers.
Cordero Patterson truthers,
speak up, start him in your lineup, and when we meet again in week 6, you will be thanking me, and I will be riding the train all the way to Patio.
Peace!